Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And please continue to help spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. This is one powerful way that we, together, can make a positive influence in the world. Now, our topic today is alcohol. Alcoholic beverages have been consumed for thousands of years, often playing a central role in religious rituals, celebrations, communal gatherings. It has a long history, and it's been embedded deeply into the fabric of many societies. But at what price? Well, joining us to discuss this topic and his new book, Sobriety Redefined, You're Doing Great, and Other Lies Alcohol Told Me, is Dustin Dunbar. Now, Dustin grew up with an abusive, alcohol-addicted father and grandfather. And so with that, he vowed to never be like them. He devoured psychology books. He researched addiction into his 20s. And he earned a doctorate in psychology and believed at that time that he had broken the family's chains. In 2009, Dustin was handpicked by Ryan Seacrest for LA Shrink and Dallas Life Coach, where Dustin was the shrink and the life coach on both of these pilots. Now, Dustin is now a coach at wearetheafr.org, a nonprofit online community helping those with alcohol addiction and raising consciousness. Dustin, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you, Alan. It's great to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you here. And I left out part of your intro, as I would like you to share, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story.
Well, yeah, the rest of the story. It's quite a story, and it's all detailed in the book. But yeah, just growing up in the Midwest, Oklahoma to be specific, and you had to be like man's man, take a shot of whiskey and not flinch, and you know, order another round and show everybody you could handle your alcohol. And it just, you know, one thing led to another with tons of peer pressure after vowing, you know, when I was a kid to not drink at all. Mm-hmm. The peer pressure just got to me and wanting to be part of the group, get the girl, do all the things that all the ads on, you know, big alcohol advertisements say.
Oh, yeah.
In order to be part of this whole system that we got going on, you need to drink alcohol or you won't be in the group. You won't have as much sex. You won't be as funny. You won't go to the parties. You won't have as many friends. Lies after lies after lies. And when you're a teenager and you see these ads, you know, 5-6 times per day on average, you get brainwashed. And just like everybody, I did too. And I started drinking and I was like, oh, I'm not like my grandpa. I'm not like my dad. I can handle it. I'm smarter than them now. And then I got into sales whenever I was in my 20s and I'm, you know, going around with CEOs around the world, playing amazing golf tournaments and courses and doing the super nice tequila shots on the course, you know, shotgunning the beers, being all cool and in, you know, first class champagne. So I'm living this life. This isn't under your counter, kind of grabbing a bottle in a bag under your counter in the mornings, at all. It's drinking like Camus wines, you know, the Napa high end stuff. And I was still like, no, I'm part of the group. I'm doing good. I'm drinking moderately. I'm drinking socially and I'm drinking responsibly, just like all the ads tell me to do. And I don't have a problem. I'm making a lot of money. I've got a wife, I've got kids, everything's going okay. Then I started really, really having a lot of problems. I started acting out. I started drinking too much. And one day I was like, wait a minute, I am craving alcohol. My body and my mind, I'm starting to crave it. I'm starting to think I can't do like go to social events without it. And I knew at that point that I was addicted. And I was like, oh, okay. So 4 years ago, I just started researching the heck out of alcohol. And I learned quickly that alcohol is ethanol. Ethanol is car fuel. Every time you see ABV, alcohol by volume, on any kind of alcoholic drink or can or bottle, that is the amount of ethanol that is in that can or bottle. And once you really start to understand that your body is not designed to drink, our bodies do not do well with ethanol running through them. This is flesh, bones, and brains. Mm-hmm. It's not metal. We are not cars. And it's just a disaster waiting to happen. So the big thing that I'm telling everybody now that I learned through tons of research is that it is a scientific fact that once a human consumes enough alcohol, they will become addicted. You cannot handle your alcohol, like we are told on all the advertising, moderately, responsibly, socially. You've got to be so careful in what you do. And now even 2 glasses per week of wine has been proven to have a 15% increase in cancer. So we used to say 2 glasses a night was totally fine. All the science coming out is that this is a highly addictive, highly cancerous, and it causes 200 other diseases. We know, like liver, everything like that that goes along with it. Not to mention all of the social, mental, family issues that happen as well.
Well, you know, I talked to when you and I were off the air, and I was talking about going to seminars and conferences and things like that. And one of the recent conferences I was in was on brain health. And that was one of the things that they spoke about. And they said, you know, there was a marketing campaign some years ago that suggested that a couple of glasses of wine is actually good for you. You know, it thins your blood, it calms you down, and all of these things. And he said, it is absolute bullshit. He said, it is a lie. And that's which is why I like in regards to your book, you know, Other Lies. He said that is absolutely wrong. They are lying to you. It is not good for you. You know, it is shrinking your brain. And just know that, you know, just as, you know, cigarette companies had their advertising about how that was good for you, alcohol, they've got their advertising that it's good for you. He said the science of it is just the opposite. So I think you're right on target.
Yeah, absolutely. It's resveratrol is the big one that they keep talking about lately. It's red wine, and a couple of glasses of red wine are good for you. And resveratrol is found in the skin of grapes, red grapes. Mm-hmm. It's also blueberries, even dark chocolate. So my whole point with all of this, with the alcohol-free revolution, that I'm not the nonprofit and everything that I preach and coach at and everything, is continue to live your exact life that you have lived. Now, with all of these alcohol-free drinks out there, there's mm-hmm. amazing red wine, white wine, champagne, whiskey, tequila, gin, beer, you name it. They've got every kind of alcohol-free drink that we know and love, yet the ethanol is removed. So you can like load up your cabinet, do everything you want to do. Get the resveratrol. You get so much resveratrol from a handful of blueberries. You don't mm-hmm. need to drink ethanol. Like red wine has 13% ABV, ethanol by volume. I call it EBV, ethanol. You've got to get that in your head that this is ethanol. The big alcohol companies have done such a great job of making alcohol this elixir of life. And so mm-hmm. everybody's like, oh, I want the alcohol. I want the alcohol. As soon as I start talking about ethanol, everybody's like, oh, don't call it that. I don't want to hear that. Duh. They put their ears, you know, their fingers in their ears because they want to keep drinking their crutch, you know, to keep the pain away that they haven't dealt with and done the personal development and everything. Just like me, I'm not judging anybody. I was the same way. You know, I was like scared to look at myself in the mirror. So you keep using this numbing liquid drug called ethanol to instead of mm-hmm. dealing with your issues. And that's what the alcohol-free revolution is all about. Is I've set up this coaching where you can go there. It's completely different than AA. It's you know, there's becoming alcohol free is not a competition at all. Do whatever you need to do that. But what I've set up is based on tons of new science. And with the alcohol free revolution, we are not alcoholics at all. We are joyous alcohol free people. We are not diseased. We don't crave alcohol. We're not white knuckling anything. There's no wagon to get on or get off. It's not like this. It's a joyous alcohol free life that we're completely into and loving. And I always say, whenever people say, "Oh, are you recovering?" I'm like, "No, I'm not recovering from anything. I'm recovered. I'm cured. There is no craving whatsoever. I get disgusted. I literally want to vert whenever I think about drinking ethanol. Like I'll see a glass or somebody offer it to me, especially any kind of smelling shot or something. I'm just like, oh my God, that's the most disgusting. Like, why would I put that in my body? And it's just a complete different consciousness than what AA has going on, where they fear it. You know, it's every day. It's a struggle. Wake up. I have to, you know, really watch myself. I can't go to certain events, things like that. Which I'm not like I said, I have like nothing but love for AA members. I'm just saying this is an alternative to that. And so if you identify with that, then come to us, but try everything and become alcohol free, however you can.
You know, I feel that we can all make a difference. And I love the fact that you have gotten so involved in this and you're making a difference. And even on a smaller scale, and my sweetheart and I were putting together like a Google Doc, and we want to be able to list nice restaurants that offer different things, but like gluten-free. Do they cook with good oils? So, you know, is it seed oil free? And do they have mocktails? You know, if they have mocktails, and I tell them now when I talk to them, or if we go somewhere and all that, you know, do you have this? Oh, well, you know, I guess we won't be able to come back here. I think we can make a difference if we start letting them know that there's going to be groups of people that will no longer go to your place if you don't offer these. And I'm not telling them don't offer alcohol or don't offer. They can offer all the things they want, but give us a choice to choose the things that we think is better for our body.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome that you're doing that, because that's exactly everywhere I go. I was just in Italy and I was in Switzerland, and I learned how to say, do you have, you know, mocktails, or do you have beer without alcohol? So, or wine without alcohol. And it was amazing. They're number one, they have tons of beer, by the way, without alcohol, but the wine they didn't yet have much. Spain has quite a bit, but they would ask me and they'd be like, oh, is there some? And they're really curious about it. And then a lot of times the sommelier would come over and talk to me about it. And I'd say, hey, yeah, there's some really good dry stuff from New Zealand. He's like, okay, let's get it. And so the more that we ask for it and want it, then of course these restaurants and places are going to have it. But I really feel like we're having this awakening, just like you mentioned the cigarettes, that we're having our cigarette moment with alcohol. The lies are coming out in droves over what this stuff does. The younger generation is seeing through it with their, you know, parents and grandparents. Just like, what is it? Why you ruined your life basically with this stuff? You could have been so much better. And so I see this as nothing but positive of what's happening now. Of course, we're drinking more than ever. You know, there's alcohol in every kind of drink right now, like water. You know, they advertise it as this clear, clean, crisp, you know, alkaline water that's sparkling and from the best source ever. But then you look at it and it's 7% ABV and you're like, that's 7% ethanol that you're promoting water, you know? And then people are like, oh, well, there's no real calories in there. And I'm like, oh, every time you see that, it's 100 calories per time, and it's empty calories that create this horrible downward spiral of making you feel gross the next day. You just want to sit on the couch. You don't want to play with your kids. You want to eat bad food. And then if you turn it the other way, which is what I'm doing now, and it's been 4 years of this, I just crave healthy food. I want to go work out in the mornings. I get up early. I want to meditate. I want to play with my kids. My kids want to play with me. It's this upward spiral that your whole life changes completely when you become alcohol free. And I just can't recommend it more highly. The best thing I ever did in this life so far is become alcohol free. And the joy that I keep talking about, I studied in my doctorate in psychology, I studied the higher levels of human development. So we're talking about, you know, Jesus, Buddha, saints, mystics, Mother Teresa, all these high conscious people. And they speak of this joy, this inner joy. They're not joking. This is a real thing. Yeah, that we all have. That we are at our utmost essence. We are joy, ease, and lightness. You're not going to get to that joy, ease, and lightness if you are constantly consuming ethanol. Ethanol, what it does scientifically is it numbs your central nervous system, and you are numb. Yeah, it might feel better because you're numbing down. Whenever you remove it, there's going to be things that come up that are going to be difficult to deal with that you probably haven't because you've been self-medicating about your, you know, trauma from your childhood, something, you know, traumatic that happened to you even in teens, adult, what have you. You've got to face yourself. You've got to face those issues.
Absolutely. You gotta get in
there. Yep. And that is the hard part. Believe me, when I went alcohol free that first 6 months, I was like, oh, this is great. I feel like working out. I feel like doing all this stuff. And then all this stuff from my childhood started coming up that I had thought that I dealt with. I thought that I researched it all, that, you know, with my doctorate and all this stuff. I was like, oh no, I've talked to people about this. No, I was masking it with ethanol and numbing my consciousness down so I didn't really have to deal with it. And man, the abandonment fears, whenever my now ex told me she wanted a divorce, just flooded me. But never did I crave alcohol during all that pain. I was like, nope, not. I'm going to face this. I'm going to get through this. And I'm going to get to joy on the other side. And that's where I'm at now. And it was difficult. Believe me, you got to get in there.
No. And I love the fact that you brought up, you know, that all we are really doing is just numbing something that's there and we're not addressing it. I think that's such a great point that people don't really do. But we're doing this as an entire society. I mean, it's the whole idea. I mean, everything with big pharma and everything else, they don't cure anything. They just, you have this problem. We're not going to fix the problem. We're just going to give you something that numbs it. And, you know, and I think with, you know, the stressors that are put on us, you know, as far as, you know, the political stressors or, you know, whatever it is that's going on out there, nobody's addressing the problems. They're just going, I'll just numb it a little more. So I think that what I like is you're getting at the root. You know, let's just go to the root of the problem and quit poisoning ourselves to somehow just run away from it.
Absolutely. And that's the key. So once you remove the alcohol, like I said, some stuff's going to come up almost all the time. 70% of heavy drinkers have some sort of childhood trauma. So 30% are just addicted because it's an addictive substance and they're social drinkers, things like that. I was a combination of the two. I was the social drinker and the trauma, which isn't the majority of us out there who are drinking a lot. And so that's what I didn't really have whenever I stopped drinking was I was like, okay, you can do private therapy. You can do AA. What else really is there out there that is an alternative where people can go to get help whenever the numbing band-aids come off? And that's what the alcoholfreerevolution.org that I've created with tons of coaching has provided for a lot of people, and people are loving it. And then my book, in combination with Annie Grace's book, This Naked Mind, they're saying that that's the 1-2 punch that really turns on the alcohol-free light. And once that light comes on and you start seeing ethanol as what it really is, a 100% addictive, toxic substance that causes cancer and other diseases, and that light, it does not go off. I'm telling you, you're like, oh, this is really making my life really bad. And you look at your life and you go, what are the worst things that have happened to me or that I've actually done in my life or behaved? And for me, I look back and I go, all of them were when I was drinking, literally.
I believe it. So for everybody out there, we're going to take a break. We're speaking with Dustin Dunbar, and we are talking about just drinking. We're talking about alcohol. We're talking about how you can have an alcohol-free life, and it can be very, very exciting, very positive. So stay with us. If you know somebody that's struggling in this area, shoot them a quick message and tell them they can hop on and they can listen to the rest of the show. So you're listening to or you're watching Answers Network.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practiced lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back. We're talking to Dustin Dunbar, and his new book is Sobriety Redefined. You're doing great. And other lies alcohol's told me. So, Dustin, let's talk about you. You touched a little bit on some of the health problems, and I've brought up some of the health problems to friends when I've thought that they have a bit of a problem. I think that they're kind of deep into it, and it's not always successful, but I'll get them to, they'll be like, well, it can't be that bad for you. Or, you wouldn't have, every advertisement or, wouldn't the government do something if this, and one of them, I said, okay, I said, let me pull up an advertisement for you from, and it was about 1957. I said, here's an advertisement. And it was 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Camel cigarettes, as being the best thing for your health. It's like, so if you really think that the government is somehow going to protect you from false advertising and stuff, get a clue. It's not going to happen. But let's go into some of the things. And I know, like, in today's world with AI and things like that, I'll tell somebody something like, if you're not sure, whatever, check it out yourself. So let me share with everybody out there. And my question to you to touch on this, but, with so much scientific information coming out about, excessive alcohol consumption being linked to numerous health issues. So this is what comes up, not just from what Dustin is telling you. This is coming up from, AI going out and searching all of the websites, but it includes liver disease, various cancers, cardiovascular problems, neurological disorders, mental health conditions, weakened immunity, and it affects your reproductive health. And for the men out there, we're saying that what it means is that if you're unable to perform, guess what? It might be the alcohol that's keeping you from doing that. It increases your risk of obesity and can lead to bone and muscle problems. So, Dustin, what's your take on the emotional, physical, and spiritual toll that alcohol takes on individuals? And let's talk alternatives. What do you see as the future of battling alcohol addiction? And obviously the huge money machine that is out there promoting just the opposite.
Yeah, you got me fired up. There was like three big things. Like, I was like, yeah, the government and the lobbyists, the alcohol, is one of the biggest lobbies, if not the biggest lobby in, the money that goes into this. If they weren't able to advertise, it would just be horrible, right? For the alcohol industry, for big alcohol, just like big tobacco. So what we're doing on alcoholfreerevolution.org is you can be an ally of us, and we are doing a huge thing where we're going to get 200,000 signatures minimum within 30 days. Once we get enough allies to send this out to, and we are going to go and we are going to do our best to get alcohol banned from our kids are being brainwashed as we speak, just like all of us older people have been with the Budweiser frogs, the bikini, Coors Light girls, all the, you look at the ads and you're like, oh my gosh, these were totally for kids. The toucan with Guinness. I mean, you're talking about cartoons, and so it hasn't gotten hardly any better with the advertising. They're able to do whatever they want to do almost all through everything in the US. The beautiful thing is around the world, like South Africa, France, places like that, are really conscious about this and seeing alcohol as ethanol and 100% addictive poison, they are banning alcohol advertising, which is amazing. I couldn't believe that France, I'm like, wine, in France is one of their biggest imports and stuff. So yeah, for them to do that was like completely shocking. So we can do it too. I know it sounds like a long stretch, but never say never. We're working there that way towards it. And then, in my book, I detail out the health effects mentally, spiritually, physically. I love that you said spiritually. For me, that's where it all is like I keep talking about the joy. If you're numbing yourself down, you cannot, when you're trying to meditate the next day. I lived in Thailand for a year and I was drinking at the time, and I'm in these beautiful temples and I have these meditation things going on. And the whole time I'm just falling asleep. I have this ethanol running through my veins and I feel gross. And I look back at that and I'm like, I just hit myself on the head. I'm like, oh God, I was doing the, sing ha, Thai beer at night and everything.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't doing that much. I was doing like two or three, but the next day I couldn't stay awake in my, meditations and stuff. And now if I was in there and I was meditating in those places, I would be literally almost levitating, because I've had that joy, that inner joy just happening and flowing through me. The details of what all ethanol actually does to your body, I take you through 2 years of detox. And obviously the first 30 days are the biggest and the most detailed of how your body's going to react from skin, from toxins coming out of your skin. What happens to a lot of people is they stop drinking and all of a sudden their skin, they start having pimples and rashes and all these things. And what's been proven is that ethanol is coming out of their skin and releasing through their skin. So everybody's like, oh, I look horrible when I stop drinking. Even eyes can even turn a little bit yellow. There's stuff that it just releases. It's held in your organs. And so for that to happen is very normal. But a lot of people are like, oh, no, I look terrible whenever I stop drinking. I tried it for 3 weeks and I just broke out and I didn't feel good. So you got to get through that first 30 days. It's not fun. And you're psychologically, you're thinking, oh, can I ever, am I really going to make it? And all this stuff in your head is going on. So it's good to have this how to, get through that time. And then it's all of the things that actually do happen when people drink alcohol. But there's 200 diseases that it actually causes. So I don't get into all 200. It's unbelievable. Whenever you get into the research, you're just like, it's endless.
Yeah. And some of the things that caught my attention, because I think that for many of us that socially drank, we read about the fact that, it can cause, psoriasis of the liver or, something like that, cirrhosis of the liver, I think. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it would cause those things. But, for somebody that would just, have a couple of drinks here and there, it's like, well, no, that's not going to get me. I still go to the gym and I still do these things and stuff. But when I started to learn about what it does to the brain, the shrinking of the brain, the fact that it's tied to so many neurological dysfunctions in the brain, you know, with Parkinson's and dementia, things like that. It's just, I mean, that was one of the most eye-opening things, you know, that I saw.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it was cancer. I could not believe the cancer numbers. Everybody's like, why do we have so much cancer these days? Everybody's not smoking anymore. Oh, maybe it's the food. Maybe it's this and that. Nobody wants to blame alcohol. And you look at how much alcohol is being consumed. And then you start talking to doctors now. I was just at my doctor and they were like looking up my nose for pronate, for allergies. And they're like, oh, wow, you had some serious acid reflux back in the day. They put a camera up there. And I'm like, yeah, that was from when I was drinking. It caused a ton of acid reflux, but I haven't had acid reflux at all in 4 years since I stopped drinking. And they're like, oh, yeah, that causes a lot of cancer if you have that acid reflux coming up, and esophageal for men. I'm like, wow, my dad died of esophageal cancer from alcohol. Literally, alcohol killed my father, just like, you know, cigarettes killed my uncle. The difference that was very interesting is that my family, friends, people like that blamed my father for being addicted to alcohol. Yet now my uncle, who was addicted to cigarettes, gets a free pass because they were so bad, this and that. Oh, cigarettes. Yeah, they did this whole pullover show on us back in the day in the 70s. You know, he got caught up in all of that. Well, what's the difference? We're the same thing with alcohol. If you look at all the pullover show is happening as big as ever with the brainwashing, like you and I've talked about, oh, it's healthy for you. You can have two a day, drink responsibly, drink moderately. It's okay. You know, life of the party, so much fun. So you really got to look at this and just go, if you see it in the big picture, look at cigarettes with everything. Every time somebody tries to talk good about the benefits of alcohol or ethanol, I'm like, okay, let's say the same thing that we would, like, say it's a cigarette, and it, like you did, you know, with your friends, with don't believe the stuff you're hearing. It's all exactly, the big alcohol is doing exactly what big tobacco did.
Yep. Now you talked about some of the things that happen when the ethanol is coming out of the body. And I want to pick it up from there, but go beyond it, because I don't want that to become an excuse why somebody doesn't. So let's talk about once you get to the other side of that, and you talked about it a little bit earlier, but I want to tie it in for anybody that is listening now. If they just tuned in and they went, oh my God, I don't want to be breaking out and having all these things happen. Talk about now the mental and physical, the mental clarity, the physical, that although some of these toxins are going to come out of your body, once they're out, all of a sudden your skin is going to be much better, and some of those things that are going to occur.
Yeah, it's in the book I talk about. I go and I research and interview actually skin doctors and dermatologists, and because of this, I'm like, okay, what's really going on here? And they said, if you want to look old, there's two things. It used to be smoking. Obviously, smoking does it too. But now everybody knows, okay, don't smoke, right? We all know that. Now they're saying, wear SPF, stay out of the sun, and don't drink alcohol. If you want to look old, don't wear SPF and drink alcohol. You will wrinkle up quicker than anything. So all this, you know, money that people are spending to get rid of wrinkles, the Botox, all these things. For me, you should see pictures of me 5 years ago whenever I was still drinking. It's almost like a different human. So in 30 days, I lost over 10 pounds, and I didn't change anything. All I did was change that I stopped drinking, and I wanted to work out. I wanted to eat healthy. I turned vegetarian even. I wanted to eat so healthy. That's what I started craving. Craving fruits and vegetables and really, you know, nothing fried. it's just amazing how your body knows what's good for you, and you can really pay attention to it whenever you're not numbing yourself down. So yeah, I just have myself to talk about, and I went from dad beard butt bod to back to, I was a model. I actually modeled underwear in Milan, Italy back in my 20s. And it literally went back to having abs. I was like, oh my gosh, I saw pictures and I'm like, I compared them to my modeling days to now. And I'm 53 and I'm going, the only thing I changed was stop drinking. Like I was still doing the exact same workouts, everything. But then of course, with not drinking, that's that beautiful spiral effect that goes up and your consciousness goes up. And then your life, it completely goes up, your energy, your spirituality. I mean, it's just, it's so nice on the other side, let's call it.
Yes. Well, and I was going to share, I was smiling because there's a lot of similarity, but about 7 years ago, I decided, number one, that I would rarely drink, but also cleaning up my diet as well, too. So cutting a lot of sugars out, cutting a lot of the bad seed oils. And it was a slow process. It wasn't snap your finger 7 years ago, but I was moving in that direction. And then when COVID hit, there was a lot of people. I didn't see a lot of people for 4 or 5 years, you know, people I hadn't seen in 4 or 5 years. So I had made some changes. And people I saw, and they went, oh my God, you look so good. You look so young. And I said, well, yeah. And I'm saying it now, but you know, about 7 years ago, I made a conscious effort. I've been aging backwards. And they just looked at me funny, like nobody does that. I go, yeah, actually I have. And in fact, I don't know if people can tell, but prior to that, my hair was solid gray. So just solid silver. I am getting darker hair, and folks, and I'm not coloring it. There's no fake anything in there, but my hair is getting darker. You know, there are so many positive things about cleaning up your diet on a lot of different levels, but one of which is the alcohol consumption being a major part of it. So, I love it. And it's when I was listening to you saying that, I was going to go, I think you started aging backwards as well.
Yes, without a doubt. People tell me that they're like, they guess my age, and I get the average that I get is around 38. I'm 53. When I was drinking, you know, when I was 49, I would get 50, 55. You know, it's just your energy. It's your aura. Yeah. And that's that spirituality, that joy that is coming out from you that people can sense. Not let alone, you know, our darker hair, our muscle tone, our just the skin glow. It's just completely different than when you have ethanol coursing through your veins. And it, like I keep telling people, this, I didn't have a lot of ethanol, like compared to big heavy drinkers, it wasn't a huge amount. And I'm still telling you, if you take, you know, two glasses a day, you take that away, even one, you are going to be so shocked at what happens. And what I've even seen is like people, beautiful women, you know, who have a glass of wine, I'll literally watch their faces and their energy after one glass, and I'll see just this drooping effect. And it's this, their whole face goes down, their energy goes down, and they become way less attractive. And I'm like, I was right there with them. And the whole time I thought I was living this, you know, high life that I keep hearing about on every advertisement that you hear that big alcohol puts out. And everything, whenever reality hits, it's all the opposite. So it's just, it's, yeah, at all levels, you become spiritually higher, physically higher, more beautiful. And mentally, like at parties and stuff, I thought I was being cool and saying funny jokes whenever I was drinking. I look back and I was like, oh my God, I was just making an ass out of myself. I had no filter. I was saying inappropriate things at inappropriate times. I was being loud whenever it wasn't appropriate. And now I have so many more friends who are real genuine friends And I get, when I go to parties, I get into real conversations that actually mean something, that I'm not just talking to guys about, hey, the Chicago Bears and this and that and beer and all this stuff. I'm really getting into who they are, what they're about. And it's just, it's all completely mentally, physically, spiritually, just such a better life on the other side.
I love it. We're speaking with Dustin Dunbar. His book is Sobriety Redefined. You're doing great. And other lies alcohol told him. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, Dustin, I'd like to share, and I know you have some in the book, but share some of the things that you started to do first that helped you kind of get through the peer pressure, you know, to kind of make that adjustment. Because we know it's not easy, you know, but let's give some things, because there might be some people out there thinking, well, God, I don't know how I'm going to market my business anymore. What about all my clients that only want to golf and drink beer? So let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. So for everybody out there, you're watching or listening to Answers Network.
Who is going through a traumatic experience can be difficult on parents, siblings, and all who are working with that young person. No family should have to go through this process alone. Westshield Adolescent Services is here to ensure you don't have to. Many of the psychologists and psychiatrists we work with have spoken about the stress families go through. Not just the young person, but the parents, needing to get their child to a program where they can get the help they need. Westshield aims to lessen that stress. Every case goes through a thorough intake process with one of our knowledgeable, compassionate intake coordinators. We want to know the likes, the dislikes, and the fears of each child. This important information is taken into consideration when choosing the best suited team member for each individual teenager. Westshield agents come from all different walks of life, giving us a diverse group of team members to ensure a personalized, compassionate experience for every teenager. This allows us to make certain every young person we work with gets to the chosen program in the best possible state of mind. We contacted over 600 of the youth we've worked with in the past to see where they're at now. 97% of these individuals told us how much their lives had improved, that they had better relationships with their friends and families, had gone on to marry, have kids, and were now using the skills they learned in their program to raise their own children. Our role of transporting at-risk teenagers is a vital step in the process of ensuring a youth's ability to thrive in their new environment, and is a role we don't take lightly. The recovery process can be a long one, but like any journey, it started with a single step.
And we're back. I'm Alan Cardoza, and we're speaking with Dustin Dunbar. So, Dustin, when we went to break, I talked about, how do you suggest that people navigate social situations without giving in to peer pressure and sort of maintaining a relationship, be it business or personal?
Yeah, the big things that came up for me with that, which I detail in the book big time on how to deal with this, is visualization is number one. To visualize in detail, whenever you're about to go do something that's going to, you know, alcohol is going to be there. You know, like you're saying, a work event that you got to go to, the golf course, that you got to go to a wedding, a bachelor party, something like that. What I teach in the alcoholfreerevolution.org is to make sure that, and we go through it, like whenever, like you and I right now, we would be on Zoom. And you would say, hey, Dustin, I've got this event coming up. I'm kind of anxious about it. I know there's going to be alcohol. I'm new. How do I get through this? And we would walk you through that event. And I want you to do, I want to tell you to tell me the sights, the smells, the sounds. We're going to do all the senses, everything. And what is the energy of the place? And we're going to be like, okay, is there somebody there that really makes you anxious, that is like pressuring you to drink? And then how are you going to, and get, what are you going to say? And it's a whole process to get through this. Once you do this enough, your brain has already done it. It's just like a golfer with sports psychology. I used to be into that quite a bit. And we would have them go through every shot of the day and visualize each shot. It's just like that. Your brain is so good at doing this. And so a big thing that with the visualization is you get to that person who's really, you know, pushing you, everything. And one of my favorite things to say is whenever they say, why aren't you going to drink, or why aren't you drinking with us, is I just feel so much better when I don't drink. Mm-hmm. And you just leave it at that. That is the key statement whenever you're dealing with somebody who's pressuring you. Which is often, it's amazing. I'm 53 and I'm hanging out with these guys and these guys are pressuring me. I'm like, what are we, 18-year-olds here? Like, you guys, stop. This is ridiculous. No, I'm not drinking. It's ethanol. It's disgusting. You guys are gross. You know, like that's me now. Like, I can just get back on them and be super confident in it. But at the beginning, it was difficult. I was kind of shy. Like, oh, I'm not one of the guys, you know, this and that. But if you can just say, I just feel so much better when I don't drink. And what that does is it's a reverse psychology, because they're drinking because they think it's going to make them feel better to drink. Right. You're saying, I feel so much better when I don't drink. And they're like, whoa. And then they might make fun of you a little bit. But guess who comes around later asking you how you're doing it? How are you not able to drink? The same guy, that same belligerent drunk who's pushing you to drink, is trying to figure out how he can stop. And so just know that it's really visualization that helps so much in the beginning. And then being vulnerable is the other one that came up big for me, is to just get your stuff out there. We all have done really stupid stuff drinking. I mean, if you read my book, I'm as vulnerable as it gets, right off the get-go in the introduction. I'm like, here you go. This is it. And it's one of those things where once you get that out and you're like, here's my past, here's the truth, this was me, this is not me now, and it's not me moving forward. And so those two things for me were the big things of dealing with it, because then nobody can say anything, right? It's all, you've already got it out there. You start laughing at yourself. Right. When you laugh at yourself and the crap that you did in your past, you are really healing. But until you get to that point, you're still holding on to a lot of trauma, a lot of guilt, a lot of things that you did. Now, whenever I talk about my past, you know, and even AA, I love the AA for the social, the meetings, and they get up there and they tell all their horrible things that they've done. You know, it's beautiful. It's absolutely, it's one of the most healing things. And so if you can get with a group of people, any kind, and just get that stuff out and just tell everybody that you love what you've done, apologize, get the past over, move through it. And now we're focused where we want to be. We're in the present and we're getting to the future joy.
Well, Dustin, just flown by, and I thank you so much. I want to get a quick answer. We've got about a minute. So it says, you know, imagine a reader finishes your book feeling empowered. What's the one thing that you hope they will take away from it?
I just hope that they will get with the alcoholfreerevolution.org and continue on, because that's where, once that light, that alcohol-free light is on, which is what the book does, it really puts that on with ethanol and This Naked Mind with Annie Grace. Then you get into the alcoholfreerevolution.org and all the coaching and everything, and it continues on. And we are seeing just beautiful things happen with so many people. And I couldn't be more proud of that nonprofit organization.
That's great. Again, thank you so much. I appreciate what you're doing. You are a perfect fit for this show because you're making a positive difference in the world. And again, I so appreciate everything that you're doing.
Thank you. So much gratitude, Alan, for having me on. I really appreciate it. Thanks to all the listeners out there.
All right. Take care. And for everybody out there, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you click the like button. And if you're interested in seeing more content like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our other shows. You can do that on our channel, Answers Network channel, or you can go to the website at answers.network. There's been some changes as of late. We're going through some changes with the show. Probably in the next month or so, we're going to come out with another push. So stay with us, and we will continue to try to bring you great guests and great content. And for everybody out there listening or watching, be good human beings and be with us again next week, or just go to the website and you can listen on any other day at Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.